Esther Perikhtes Pasuk Tes Zion. 810 people have been killed so far on the 13th of Adar and the 14th of Adar in Shushan alone. Ushaar haYehudim asher b'medinos haMelech, and the rest of the Jews throughout all of the king's provinces. That's a lot of us. Nikhalu ve'amod al nafsham. They gathered and organized and defended themselves. Ve'amod al nafsham. I find very interesting. Not ve'amdu al nafsham or ve'amad. Not past tense. Ve'amod. Amod is a commanding. It's tzivui. Amod ya amod. Hechosan. It was ve'amod al nafsham. So I wonder if maybe this is a command to us. Millennia later, that the time will come, ve'amod al nafsham, whether we like it or not. If you don't serve in the amod al nafsham, maybe you get arrested. Oh, nope. Little joke, little Israel joke. Ve'noach me'oyvehem v'harog b'sonehem. And they got relief from their foes. So, ve'noach v'harog, they got relief from their foes and slayed among their enemies. Again, Malbim, Oyvehem, and Sonehem, outward anti-Semites, inward anti-Semites, but all sharing the same Candace and Tucker opinion of Jews. Chamisha v'shivim olef. Wow! From 810, now it's 75,000. All through the kingdom. Uva biza lo shalchu v'syadam, but none of them touched the biza. None of them looted either. Despite the fact that they think the eyes of the crown are not upon them, so maybe they could have gotten away with it. But they refuse to take the spoils. B'yom shlosha asar l'chodesh shnei masar, says Yud Zayin, on the 13th day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, on the 13th day of Adar, v'noach b'arba'a asar bo, and they gained relief on the 14th day. So in the capital, they're fighting on the 13th and 14th. And as we'll see, on the 15th, they rested. But throughout the rest of the kingdom, they only needed one day to wipe out 75,000 people. That's just an astonishing number. And they made it a day of feasting and gladness. Always mishta. It's interesting that feasting is using the word mishta, not achila, but shasiya. Drinking is part of the fast. So really, technically, you would think that Purim would be on the 13th for the rest of us out here, because the 13th was the day of death, the day of Jewish slaughter. Memorial Day in Shushan must have been quite something the following year, and in the rest. So this is a lot. This is a lot of violence. This is a lot of killing. 75,810. Foof. That's a lot of people being executed and killed. Technically 75,811, I suppose you could say, if you want to count Haman as well. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot for the Jewish people. Relief, Noach, is finally what we get when the war's over, and yet we can't forget what was done before. Erica Brown says, the Jews' Persian neighbors thought there was no price to pay for their venomous hate crimes, and their newfound terror was not only fear of the Jews, but fear of the consequences they thought they had escaped, fear of the naked abusive power within themselves. If you read extensively about the Arab pogroms of the 1920s, there were something like 27 or 50 Arab pogroms, not just Hebron in 1927, which is the famous one, but Yerushalayim and all of the different cities. And the level of violence is astonishing. And the eyewitness reports, many of them kept by the British mandate, stood there and watched people being murdered in front of them, women and children and elderly people, and just wrote it down and said, you know, gee, bad times for the Jews. I guess the Arabs are doing what they got to do. I mean, this is truly terrible things. Graphic morbidity of a sword slash visited upon Gentile neighbors. Stories from the Holocaust abound of people who saw their former Jewish neighbors on their block. I'm sorry, their former Goyish, their German neighbors, now as Nazi officers, putting them to death and saying good morning to them the same way they did when they used to walk the dog back in the day. It's horrifying. All of these interpretive possibilities point to the survival techniques needed to weather life in exile, says Erica Brown. Either condition of existence, victim or oppressor, was intolerable. The Jew of Persia was prepared to be invisible, unnoticeable, but exile didn't allow for this luxury. One could be hated or one could hate. One could be too powerless or too powerful. One could be killed or kill. These are choiceless choices. No subtle choices available in exile. At base, one must simply survive. So imagine that. Imagine that, because we're watching it now in the aftermath of Gaza and Eretz Yisrael and the explosion of anti-Semitism crimes all over the world right now. In Australia, it's gone up 800%. In Britain, it's gone up 1,000%. In America, anti-Semitic crimes have more than doubled or tripled just over the last couple of years. The choice we have is to either be seen as the genocider or to be a victim and be genocided without the world even going tisk-tisk. Nobody is protesting Sudan. Nobody is protesting Nigeria. Nobody is protesting Iran or Saudi Arabia a couple of years ago. Only when the Jews are involved. That's what Gullus means. And here it is being illustrated for us in the form of 75,000 dead bodies that the fairly peace-loving Jews are not normally the ones who are going to cause and create. So we'll continue with the dates and then the Yontif next time.